in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he may open up to us the truth of his holy and sacred word. As your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus, towards the end of his life here upon this earth, spoke concerning the end of time. He spoke concerning terrible things that would come upon Jerusalem and upon the sons of Jacob for their unbelief. And he also spoke of the end that would come upon this earth because of sin and unbelief. It was something he spoke here to his disciples. Dear friends, it concerned them. Dear friends, we read of it in the early church, in Paul's epistles and Peter's epistles. It concerned them. And today, dear friends, virtually 2,000 years later, it concerns us. For it's the one prophecy, great prophecy of the scriptures that is yet to come, and we know not when. Jesus said, didn't he? No man knows when it shall be, not even the angels that are in heaven. But what a solemn day it will be. Jesus likened it unto the days of Noah. In the days before the flood, when there was that increase in the generations of the people, and they were doing that which was right. They were eating, they were drinking as was needed. The Lord gave them food and drink, even though they were great sinners, even from the days of Adam and Eve. And they were marrying and giving in marriage, which was honourable to be done. And they continued until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Dear friends, that day should not have come upon them by surprise, should it? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah had been instructed by God to make that which was for the saving of those from the great terrible flood in the pattern that God gave Noah to make it. And it seemed to be of the order of 120 years. A great structure. But it seems they mocked Noah. What does this man do? It seems before the flood there had been no rain. A mist went up and watered the earth. So what was this great construction that Noah was making? In their own reasoning and their own understanding, they did not believe. And so they came to ignore it. It was something that didn't affect them. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the floods came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, dear friends, I think we read that 4, if not 5 times in these few verses. Jesus referring to this time of the end of all things, when the Son of Man cometh. He referred to himself, didn't he, as the Son of Man, made like unto his brethren, for the suffering of death. He was yet to die. He was yet to rise again. He was yet to ascend on high, back to the Father, having fulfilled the work the Father gave him to do. And as he ascended up, those angels said to his disciples, "Why gaze ye up into heaven? This same Jesus that ye have seen go into heaven shall so come again in like manner." And then the end will come. The day of the Lord will come. And dear friends, what a day of separation that will be. A separation of taking into heaven, and it or a taking through damnation into hell. Well, we read, didn't we, what Jesus said, that two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Both shall be doing the same things outwardly, practically, physically, in the course of their daily lives and their daily duties. But there will be a divine separation. There will be those who Jesus came to suffer, bleed and die. And there'll be those who know nothing of that wondrous redeeming love. There shall be weeping, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, why did we not hear? Why did we not hearken? Why did we not plead for pardon? Why did not we believe? And so on and so forth. What a terrible hour that will be for those who only live their lives upon this earth, only interested in carnal things, temporal things, even though they are of the Lord's mercies toward them. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus gives the example of owner of a house. If he knew his house was going to be burgled, then he would watch and be ready to defend his house from the thief, so that it is not broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. In an hour that we think not. Dear friends, how often do we think upon the coming of the Lord Jesus? The second time, when there will be the end of all things and an entrance into eternity. It doesn't occupy our hearts and minds very often, does it? No, we carry on day by day with our hopes, our expectations, our plans and our schemes. And dear friends, we have to do these things. But let us always be mindful that we do not know what another day may bring forth. We have the wonderful promises of God. Oh, the Lord knoweth what we have need of, yea, before we ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first, be ye also ready. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus gives this very, very solemn, searching parable, doesn't he? Of the 10 virgins. And also of the bridegroom, for whom they had waited for. Apparently in the weddings of the Jews, the bride was accompanied by a virgin, so we might say a bridesmaid. It's referred to in, I think it's Psalm 45, where we read concerning the king's daughters who were among the honourable women. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. There was the one bride, but there were these companions also, 10. And 10 seems to figure quite a lot in the customs of the Jews. The bridegroom, he also had 10 companions at the time of his wedding. In fact, we look upon this as the church, don't we? The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework, the bridegroom, who has prepared the wedding garment for his bride, the church. And within the church, dear friends, are these, as we might call, the virgins. These who accompany her are the individual souls of the church. I don't want to over-spiritualise this, because the teaching of the parable is, be ye also ready. It's a parable of being ready when the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ, comes again, to take all those who are his to be with him in glory. And all those who are not ready are left out to be banished to hellfire. It's a solemn parable. It divides the 10 virgins into 2 groups of 5. Of course, 5 of them wise and 5 were foolish. In their outward conduct, they were all the same. They no doubt were dressed the same. They had the same purpose. They was waiting for the bridegroom. They had lamps. They slumbered and they slept. Dear friends, the only difference was oil. The 5 that were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The ones that were foolish took no oil with them. We don't read of them with other vessels. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn distinction there is here, isn't there? And how it searches us. Are we wise or are we foolish? You see these lamps that they both carried. They were like their professions. They had religious professions. You can even say they had Christianity professions. Outwardly, they obeyed the word of God as best they could. They were moral. They were upright. They were kind. They were generous. They attended the house of God. They had a clear, open profession of what they were. And they were hoping for heaven when Jesus came as the heavenly bridegroom. You could tell no difference between the five wise and the five foolish by outward discerning. I'm sure the wise could not determine the difference between them and the others. Perhaps the foolish in their outward walk were more honourable than the wise. But the foolish had no oil that was needful to give light at the time of the coming of the bridegroom. For the bridegroom, as we often find in the Hebrew accounts, they came at night time to take their bride. And all those that were ready, oh, gave light via their lamps. And they went in, following the bridegroom into the marriage supper. What's the significance of this oil? We read of this oil in the Old Testament. We read it in a God-given instruction to Moses, that the oil was to be beaten pure olive oil, oil of olive, beaten and pure, for the lamps, that it might give light continually. We think, don't we, of the suffering of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. His body broken, his blood spilled, beaten, as we might say, oh, there upon the cross of Calvary, bearing the sins of many, that many might receive of that saving grace for the salvation of their soul. Dear friends, this oil was very precious. The wise knew that they needed it. The foolish were satisfied without it. They were satisfied with themselves, their outward walk, their outward profession. Read in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Read that again. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. What are these precepts of man? Well, dear friends, it's not the gospel, is it? The precepts of men to such might say, you must believe in Jesus. And they tell them what they should do, how to believe in Jesus. By what they do and how they live their lives. And how they understand the reading of the Word of God. It's no different to us being taught history, that certain things took place as King Henry VIII was the King of England and followed on by his son and then Mary Queen and so on. Dear friends, we believe it. But it only abides in our heads, doesn't it? And we can pass examinations concerning those true facts. But it doesn't affect us in our hearts. The scriptures can be like that. Taught by the precept of men. And things that should be done. Perhaps penances. For the forgiveness of sin. The way we say our prayers and how we must pray and what to say. And liturgy. And develop, as it were, a legal righteousness. Go about to establish one's own righteousness. And do one's duty, which one is called to do. Dear friends, our foundation can be laid by the precepts of men, and many be deceived. Oh, that the Lord is mindful of them, and they may look at their providential mercies, their earthly comforts, as we do in this country, and things go smoothly and well. And dear friends, they are deceived that they have a good hope of eternal life. But there's no oil of God's grace through Jesus Christ ever been known and felt within their hearts. The one thing needful, the sacrifice for our sins through Jesus Christ, known and felt. Revealed by the power of the Holy Ghost. The one thing needful. Oh dear friends, this searches us out, doesn't it? Where is our hope of eternal life? Does it reside just in ourselves? Our good walk through life. Our knowledge of the scriptures. Doctor of divinities even maybe, but know nothing in our hearts. You know, dear friends, this leads, doesn't it, to one's walk in life is pride. Oh, we read in the Psalms of those who through their religious walk are proud. Oh, the Pharisees were. And their prayers were proud. I thank God I'm not as other men are, knowing not that he was a sinner. Oh, how ready, dear friends, such are to judge. Judge others as to be worse than themselves. And dear friends, how solemn that account which Jesus speaks of those who shall call him Lord, Lord, in that day when he will come again for to judge the whole earth. Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And in thy name have cast out devils. Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me. Oh, I never knew you, ye cursed. Depart from me, ye cursed. They've been led to believe that their own works, good and mighty that they were seemingly, from what they said, their own works were insufficient to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Depart from me, ye cursed. Dear friends, we cannot depend anything of our own, can we? I never knew you. I never knew your sins laid upon me. I never knew you as a wretched sinner before me, pleading for my mercy and for my grace. I never knew you. Oh, dear friends, this is what we need to know ourselves, to be called by grace, to know what it is truly to be a sinner. Not a sinner like a Balaam who said, I've sinned, or King Saul, who said, I have sinned. Judas Iscariot said, I have sinned. No, dear friends, the sins of confession before the dear Saviour of sinners is a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart. Knowing one is unworthy. Unworthy of the least of the mercy of God. To mourn over one's sins and after Christ. Black as hell we find our souls to be. Dear friends, the Lord knows how to bring us to value the love of Jesus through the giving of himself on Calvary's cross, to value it above all other things of our daily lives. All that oil was very precious to the wise virgins. It was their hope that when the bridegroom came at midnight even, they would have that which was needful to follow the Lord into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, dear friends, there we have, haven't it? The marriage supper of the Lamb. The one who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. And that has to be known, it has to be felt. And our hearts poured out before him in humble confession. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, dear friends, do earnestly pray if you know not such a sweet time as that. I say sweet time. It doesn't feel sweet when you're under the burden and sense of your sins. But it's sweet when you're drawn through that sense to plead for mercy for Jesus' sake at the foot of the cross in spirit. And to hear that voice speaking in the power of the Spirit, I love thee well, my child. All this is done for you. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Dear friends, that's the oil. That's the precious oil of God's grace in the gift of his Son. And that changes the heart, doesn't it? You're not the same again. You can witness, you can testify, you can tell how your heart has been changed. Oh, at once perhaps it was geared by pride and self-righteousness and goodness. And oh, how well you did in living as you should in this life. Dear friends, when he comes to the last day, all that's gone away. What is the chaff to the wheat? Chaff is very useful, isn't it? As the wheat is growing, And dear friends, our daily duties and responsibilities and our religious walk is essential as we're here upon this earth. But is the fruit of the Spirit within? Of course, when it comes to the gospel harvest time and the threshing floor, dear friends, if there's no fruit of the Spirit within, the fruit of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ known and felt within, that has brought forth praise and honour unto his glory, everything will be blown away like the chaff. It'll have no benefit or value anymore. Only that which is of the Spirit of God, which brings forth the honour and glory of his name from the depths of our heart, that we are sinners saved by grace, only that will bring us safely to the eternal shore of the kingdom of heaven. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Dear friends, it's not something we can put off, is it? It's not something we can say, oh, I'll consider this some other time. Oh yes, these things are essential, but I've got so many other things to attend to at the moment. That's our nature, that's Satan whispering within us, influencing us by his evil spirit. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Dear friends, when we know the possession of this oil, in our earthly walk upon this earth, we shall be no different to those who have got no oil. Oh, doesn't Jesus speak of a parable concerning the wheat and the tares? Let them both grow together until the harvest. These both slumbered and slept. Well, however we look at that, it can be looked at in many ways. But dear friends, they all continued in the same manner of life upon this earth, watching and waiting, oh, for the bridegroom to come. And dear friends, as we slumber and sleep, we fail at times, don't we? We shan't be perfect in our walk to serve him who served with our sins upon Calvary's cross, that our sins be remembered no more. Oh, how far short we come in how we conduct ourselves in our daily lives. You could probably say, oh, we're in many things no different to many unbelievers. Those who walk morally and upright, keep the law and so forth, and are kind, generous one to another and so forth. All very much the same. But dear friends, those who have the oil of this grace which is precious, they'll fear to lose it. Oh, they must keep it, it's precious. It's the vital thing for when the bridegroom comes. It's in the vessel of their soul. It has effect upon the depth of their heart. It rules their very being. But Satan will come to take it away. Satan is a mighty thief. He'll rob the Lord's people of all their hope and all of the grace and of faith, if he can. Walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Dear friends, what a mercy, you can't devour those for whom Christ died. We have an example here, don't we? We read it at the end of chapter 24. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That means serving him, obeying his voice, walking in love as Christ hath loved him, and given himself a sacrifice for his sins. Oh, the blessed commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbour as thyself. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. He's been influenced by this grace, how to conduct himself throughout life. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day that he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder. Even that's the fear of the Lord's people. Is it not your fear, my fear, that we shall fail? Oh, we shan't attend to the value of that grace granted to us as we should. Temptations surround us, the lusts of our flesh. Oh, that which is just pleasurable to us in our bodies, in our minds, and seeking the riches of this world and associating with those who delight in abominable things. Oh, we find in a drawing an attraction to this thing and this one and that one. Oh, we can easily get into slippery places, can't we? The hymn writer says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And we love him because he first loved us. You know, dear friends, through the exercise of this grace, we shall spend many hours at the throne of grace to obtain more grace, to grow in that grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Oh, the depths he has come, beaten out on Calvary's cross, to give us that grace which is sufficient for us in all times of temptations, trials, fiery trials, which are to try us. Oh, we thank the Lord, don't we? We thank Christ Jesus, he who was tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin, that we can come in his name, a glorious high priest who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins, to the throne of grace. And where's the throne? There's a king, and where there's the word of a king, there's power. Dare to obtain mercy as we sin. Oh, daily, dear friends, we must confess all of our sins, our failings and shortcomings. Then he will obtain more grace to help us in the time of our need. As the Apostle Paul found, oh, when he was tempted with Satan, the Lord strengthened him. My grace is sufficient for thee. It is still there. I have given it to thee. I will not take it away. It may get, the influence of it may get small, but I will not forget thee. Can a woman forget her child? Oh, she may forget, but I will not forget thee. I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. There's his suffering. The wounds of Jesus for your sin. His grace sufficient to blot out all your transgressions, to love you freely. Nothing can separate from that love. And as the word says, yea, that endure to the end shall be saved. When the Lord, the bridegroom, comes, watching, waiting for his appearance. Oh, ever been at that throne of grace. Now he comes to take all those for whom he died into his eternal kingdom. Oh, what must it be like to be there? Come, thou blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And those who were not ready, I'm not going to try to spiritualize the going away to buy and to come again, no. They weren't ready when Christ came, the bridegroom, heavenly bridegroom, and the door was shut. All those that had that precious grace, all precious to them in that vessel, those vessels, as we think of ourselves. Dear friends, it was the light of the glory of God, yes, in the face of Jesus, which they could see and enter into his glory, to be with Christ forevermore. Dear friends, such a time awaits us each, doesn't it? Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Until then, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation, living as best we can in faith, trusting in him at all times, seeking his honour and his glory, obeying his voice, all his will to esteem, the word to be a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway, to continue in the way that is everlasting. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But dear friends, if he came tonight, oh, to be ready, watching, waiting, enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen.